are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the letter of James. James chapter 1. Today we are beginning a new series. For the next 3 weeks, we're looking at the subject, joy in the storm. Joy in the storm. I am aware that there are many of us in this room today that are going through trials and troubles and hardships, that there are many of us who come to this place with things that we need to face when we leave this house today. So it's my great honor and privilege to offer this word to you from the Word of God. James chapter 1, let's pray before we read. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, help us to hear. Help us to understand. Help us to walk in the truth. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears as the word of God is read and proclaimed. May we be faithful and joyful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. James chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, hear now the word of God. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Someone once said, into every life, a little rain must fall. But what do you do when the gentle rain becomes a storm? Think about your life. How do you respond when trials come into your life? What do you do when the gray clouds of suffering and hardship suddenly show up? How do you respond to trials? Do you get angry? Do you see trials as uninvited intrusions and frustrations that just need to go away as soon as possible? Do you shake your fist at heaven, declaring it's not fair? Or maybe you wallow in a pool of self-pity, and instead of shouting, it's not fair, you whisper, poor me, poor me. How do you respond to trials? Do you emotionally curl up in the fetal position, in fear, trying to wish your problems away? Do you become paralyzed by discouragement? Do you lose hope? Your peace, your faith. How do you respond to hardship, trials, and suffering? The Bible teaches us that those who are followers of Jesus, who are empowered by His Spirit, are overcomers who walk in victory. We are not helpless or hopeless in the face of trials. We have spiritual resources. We have spiritual resources that are so powerful that we will not only make it through the storm itself will be transformed to serve our good. In this moment, I'm reminded of that old saying that goes, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. I'm also reminded in this moment that in all of my years of hearing that saying, nobody ever told me how to make the lemonade. In our text this morning from the Bible, James chapter 1, it tells us how to make that lemonade. James, who wrote this part of the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit, was the son of Mary and Joseph. Yep, that Mary and Joseph. Therefore, James was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus. James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. James wrote this letter that is now part of the Bible during a time of great hardship and trial and suffering. You see, a great persecution had broken out against the church. Believers were being thrown into jail. Some were even losing their lives because they followed Jesus. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you have to face when you leave this place. I don't know the storm you're in, but these words are for you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Did you hear it? Did you hear the ingredients? Did you hear in that scripture how to make the lemonade? The text, James, gives us three ingredients. He says that there is a command to be obeyed. There is a truth to be known. And there's a future to be anticipated. There's a command to be obeyed, a truth to be known, and a future to be anticipated. First, there is a command to be obeyed. Look again at verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. This is not a polite suggestion. This is not a helpful hint for your life. It is a command of Holy Scripture. Consider it pure joy. Now, the Bible here is not telling us to pretend to have joy or to fake it or to put on a show for people. Too many Christians, embarrassed or ashamed, hide or are in denial that they are going through something. Listen, friends, hardship, trials, and suffering are facts of life. Notice that the Bible does not say here, if you face trials, but when you face trials. It's going to happen to all of us repeatedly throughout life. When those trials come, the Bible commands us, consider it pure joy. The word pure there means genuine, not fake joy, real joy. Count this as real joy. Count this storm that you're going through. Consider this real joy. This command, consider it pure joy, is a command to do the very opposite of your natural impulse. When the storms of life come, your natural impulse is to get mad or get glad or, I'm sorry, to get mad, to get sad, or to run away and hide. Instead, the Bible says, choose joy. This command to choose joy in the midst of the storm is going to strike most ears as odd, irrational, or just plain old impossible. The reason this is so is because most of us still think of joy as primarily a feeling. Happiness is a feeling. Happiness is a feeling based on your circumstances. When things are going the way you want, you feel happy. When things are not going the way you want, you no longer feel happy. Joy is deeper than happiness. You can have tears in your eyes and still have joy. You can be grieving the death of a loved one and still have joy. You could be facing a life-threatening illness and feel the pain of not wanting to leave your loved ones and still have joy. Remember our definition of joy that we started the year with. Joy is the gladness of soul that comes from knowing, not your circumstances. It comes from knowing that you are right with God. And because you are right with God, you can expect to receive good from God. Joy has nothing to do with your circumstances. It's all about your relationship with God. Choosing joy means that in the midst of the storm, you on purpose delight in, take comfort in, take courage in your relationship with God. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, I know God is for me, not against me. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, I know because of my relationship with God that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. This takes us to the heart of the gospel. Your sin has separated you from God, the God who is the source and giver of all good things. But because of His great love for you, God became a human being in Jesus. Jesus died on a cross to receive the punishment that you and I deserve. Jesus, by His atoning, sacrificial death, has reconciled you to God. And because you are reconciled to God, you can expect good from God. Choose joy. Because the storm is temporary. God's goodness in your life is forever. Choose joy because the storm is temporary. God's love for you is forever. Choose joy because the storm is temporary. God's saving grace in your life is forever. Choose joy. That is, take delight and comfort in your relationship with God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have to face today, delight in the Lord to walk in victory in life's hardships and trials. First, obey the command to choose joy. Second, the text tells us there is a truth to be known. If we're going to find victory in our trials, there's a truth that we have to know. And it's here in verse 3. James writes, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The truth is that no matter what you're going through today, God is at work. God is using your trial to grow you, to make you better, not bitter. Your setback is transformed by the power of God to be a setup for God to take you to the next level of life and faith in Him. What God is doing in your life right now, you're going through this storm. You can't get what God is doing in your life from reading a book. You can't get what God is doing in your life from attending a class. You've got to go through this storm to get this thing that God is giving you. You've got to go through the hardship. You've got to go through the pain. You've got to go through the struggle to get this. Verse 3 says, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When you are going through a trial, your faith gets tested. And here's another thing we have a hard time understanding in the spiritual life, that God will test your faith. And God's testing is actually a very positive thing. In testing your faith, God is not trying to condemn you or destroy you or reject you. Not in any way, not at all. God tests you. He tests your faith in order to bring out the best in you. In a similar way, a good teacher does not give students a test in order to try to make them fail or to try to make them look dumb. No, a teacher gives a test to bring out the best of a student's knowledge so that the teacher can continue to build on that knowledge. In a similar way, God will test your faith to bring out the best in you so that He can continue to build on that in your life. Listen, friends, Satan will tempt you to bring out the worst in you. God will test you to bring out the best in you. And that's what's confusing about a lot of the things that we go through, because the same event in your life can be experienced both as God's testing and Satan tempting. In this thing that you're going through, God is testing you to bring out the best, and Satan is tempting to bring out the worst in you. What is the Lord bringing out of you? It's in verse 3 as well. Verse 3 says perseverance. Perseverance, that solid determination to remain faithful to the Lord. Verse 3 says, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, perseverance may not sound like a very exciting thing, but think of it this way. Perseverance is like an athlete lifting weights. When an athlete lifts weights, what is produced in them is the capacity to lift even more weights, heavier weights. Through the testing of your faith, the Lord is growing you, strengthening you, producing in you the ability to walk victoriously through greater and bigger storms. There is a command to be obeyed. There's a truth to be known. Finally, if we're going to turn life's lemons into lemonade, the text tells us there is a future to be anticipated. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. For the believer, the storms of life shape character. Your trials, your hardship, your suffering is not wasted, and it is not meaningless. You are becoming fit and equipped to serve God. James says that through the storms, through the trials in this life, you can anticipate. You're not waiting until you get to glory. In this life, you can anticipate spiritual maturity. Maturity, it's the quality of character that comes from having learned from hardship. And listen, there are a lot of people who go through hardship who don't learn a thing. James says that if you'll choose joy, if you'll let God work in you, He'll mature you. Not only that, He says you'll be complete. You'll be complete. Now, complete here doesn't mean sinless perfection. It means that the weaknesses and the imperfections of your character will be removed and new virtues will be gained by you. Finally, James says you will not lack anything. That is, you will be a fully formed, fully equipped Christian, mature, fully formed, equipped for this life, ready to face anything. As long as I can remember, My mother has always sewn clothes. There are many pictures of me. If you were to go to my parents' house, there are many pictures of me and my sisters as kids in clothes that my mother made. I've spent many hours with my mother in fabric stores. And I remember times with her in her sewing room, watching her sew at her sewing machine. And watching her sew at her sewing machine, looking at this garment that she was making, I would think, well, this thing doesn't look so good. This thing that you're making just doesn't, it doesn't look good. What I didn't realize was that I was looking at the garment that was being sewn from the wrong side. When she runs the fabric through the sewing machine, she runs it on the back. On from the inside of the garment, of the fabric. Once it goes through the sewing machine, many, many times, she then flips it over and it is this beautiful garment that has been created. Many of us are looking at the wrong side of life and hardship. Many of us are looking at the fabric of life on the wrong side. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. God is sewing. God is making something beautiful of your life. And the day will come when he will pull it out of all the trials and troubles of this life, and he'll flip it over, he'll turn it inside out, and you'll say, that's beautiful. Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job, who had suffered greatly, said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Friends, I don't know what you're going through today, but know that God is inviting you. God is commanding you to choose joy. He wants you to know that he's working in your life. I know it doesn't feel good. I know you want to run away. I know you want it to just be over, but he's working in your life. He's creating something beautiful. Let's pray together.